Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, joined, I'm very pleased to say, by one of my oldest friends and mentors, Richard Perle, the former Assistant Secretary of Defense under President Reagan, responsible for international security policy, also a member and chairman of the Defense Policy Board for many years. He and I worked together in the office of the late and great Senator Henry Scoop Jackson. His expertise on matters involving national security and foreign policy is truly legendary, and we're delighted to have him with us as always. Richard is today a resident fellow with the American Enterprise Institute. Welcome back, Richard. Good to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Frank.
You have spent much of your life, professional life especially, focused on a country that is, of course, a NATO ally, but has behaved in recent years in a manner that would not give you that impression. It is Turkey. Yesterday, the Turkish people went to the polls, and it seems, for the first time in 10 years or so, have dealt a real setback to the president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Talk a bit about what they have done with their ballots and what the implications may be, Richard.
Well, for the first time, as you say, in I think it's now 12 years, the Erdogan-led party, the AK party, AK party, or the Justice and Peace Party, and the name, by the way, is repeated in a number of Arab countries, and in every case, it is a party that tilts toward the Muslim Brotherhood, was denied a majority in the parliament and saw its vote declined significantly all over the country, which is very good news for Turkey and Turks and the United States and NATO, because since Erdogan came to power a dozen years ago, the country has moved consistently with gathering momentum in the direction of an Islamist state and has become a less and less reliable ally of the United States and its NATO partners.
Indeed. And what was really on the line, as I understand it, in this election very explicitly was a further consolidation of power in Erdogan's hands, which almost certainly would have moved things even further in that very undesirable direction.
Indeed. Erdogan has been trying to alter the respective responsibilities of the parliament and the executive in favor of the executive, with himself there to benefit from the greatly expanded powers that he would have achieved. But even under the historical limitations of the presidency, he has used tactics that are anti-democratic to obtain power at the expense of others. And the Turkish electoral system is such that the party that does best gets huge rewards on top of what may be a fairly meager performance. So the AK Party actually came to power initially with 25% of the vote, but it received almost a majority from the beginning and very soon thereafter, with always less than 35% of the vote, until the previous election, got absolute majorities in the parliament. And it had an absolute majority going into this.
And have used them to advance this Islamist agenda, as you say. And Richard, one of the things that I guess is now in prospect as a result of the performance of the AKP party is that they may not be able to form a government, since the opposition parties have said they won't join it in a coalition and it has a minority at the moment. Do you anticipate that this will result in new elections in a few weeks' time? And if so, more of the same? Or are we really witnessing the end of the sort of trajectory of the AKP and Erdogan, in your estimation?
Well, I certainly hope it's the end. New elections are one possibility in the event that a government cannot be formed. The opposition parties could possibly form a minority government, or the AK Party could, if it manages to change the current expressed position of the opposition parties, lure one of them in, or lure enough members of parliament in so that they can form a majority. I hope that we will see a minority government and that it will take action that will demonstrate to the Turkish people how the deterioration of Turkish society has been proceeding these last 10 years.
We'll be watching it closely. One of the things that also was a highlight of this election in Turkey, Richard Perle, was something that was featured in a very important presentation that our mutual friend Shoshana Bryan of the Jewish Policy Center made to a group we convened last week on Capitol Hill about the Kurds. A Kurdish-based party finally made it into parliament. Shoshana is talking about really the necessity as a practical matter of recognizing that the lines of sort of the post-World War I era are being inexorably redrawn, and it's time for there to be a Kurdish state, initially at least in the areas controlled by Kurds in Iraq. What do you think of that idea, and what are its implications for both Turkey and Iran, as well as Iraq, in your estimation?
I think the first thing to be said is that the Kurds of Iraq are the only capable fighting force in Iraq, and they desperately are needed to hold the line against ISIS. The tragedy is that they are not receiving the support they should be getting from the United States or others, although some others are doing rather more than we are, in part because it is American policy to put all assistance, the weapons, for example, necessary to defeat ISIS, through Baghdad. And Baghdad simply withholds them from the Kurds. It also withholds revenues that are due to the Kurds under an oil revenue sharing constitutional provision. And the result is that the weapons that go to the Iraqi army are winding up in the hands of ISIS because the Iraqi army is worthless. And they're not being given to the Kurds, who might conceivably help defeat ISIS. It's a terrible situation.
Should we be recognizing it as a separate state, in your estimation?
Well, we should certainly be recognizing it as a federal entity, as the current Iraqi constitution does, and treaty. If the Kurds had the same powers that states have in the United States, they would be vastly better off. The question of a state is a much more complicated one because, of course, the Kurdish population, which is several million, is found in Syria, in Iran, in Turkey, in Iraq, and some other places as well. So you have several governments that are adamantly opposed to any one of them achieving statehood, and fear being that it will lead to a movement for splitting off the Kurdish population in all of those countries. But you don't have to face that issue to make the much more modest step of intelligently enabling the Kurds to defend against ISIS. And we're not doing that, and it's tragic because they're capable, they're highly motivated, unlike the Iraqi army, and yet they're fighting practically with their bare hands.
And they're on our side, unlike the Iraqi army.
I had a meeting not long ago with President Barzani, who said, if you Americans believe it would be useful to have bases in this area, tell us how much land you need and where you'd like it. No, they are completely open to the United States, and we have disappointed them again and again and again. And amazingly, they're like a Wheaton Terrier. They keep coming back and express affection even after we treat them badly.
As we both are great admirers of Wheaton Terriers, that analogy resonates with me for sure. Richard Perle, we're going to have to leave it at that, I'm afraid. That there's so much more to talk about. I hope to visit with you about the Iran deal the president is negotiating, and also another issue from your old portfolio in the Pentagon, the difficulties that NATO is currently having with Vladimir Putin over Ukraine and perhaps the Baltic states and more. But that will be for another day, I hope very soon, and I appreciate very much your time. The work you're doing with the American Enterprise Institute these days, and of course your distinguished service to our country, and both on Capitol Hill and in the Pentagon. I hope you will come back very soon. Next up, we'll be visiting with Mark Krikorian. We'll get a tour of what's happening, surprisingly enough, in some respects, with respect to immigration, legal and illegal, right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.